there are opportunities in life for gaining knowledge and experience.
So let's have a conversation.
Okay. What would you like to have a conversation about?
Hello, and welcome to The Conversation, a Nordic Film Podcast. This is a milestone episode, isn't it? It's the 40th. It's not really a milestone, 40. Except that it's,
it's a round number.
Yeah, it's a round number.
Yes.
A nice number. So let's make it count today.
The main feature will be Annihilation.
Yes.
The new Alex Garland movie.
Yes.
And, part of our introduction, it actually features Ex Machina, his first film.
I don't remember being consulted.
Well, it just fitted the theme, So yeah. What do you want to talk about? That's actually Alicia Vikander saying that.
Yeah. Anyways, what are you drinking?
I am drinking a stout today. It's called a November stout. It's the type of an imperial stout, and it's by the Danish company Ølsnedkeren.
Interesting.
Yeah, it looks like this, Trygve.
It's good. Looking good. But,
yeah. So I just realized it's a 9% beer, but it's small.
It's small.
It's only 33 centiliters, so I think I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
Smells good. There's that sound.
Yeah, and it smells good. It smells a bit toasted, kind of like the one last week from Angeduck.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Quite strong. Mm-hmm. I'm going to enjoy this throughout our conversation here. How about you?
I have something from Belgium. Not the usual one, but something called Grisette Bio. Mm-hmm. This is it has all these ecological markings all over it.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
Must be good.
It's a Blanche Weissbier. Yeah. Yeah.
Your preferred one.
Yes, never tried this before. Let's go.
He is drinking. He's looking surprised.
I am beginning to think the Belgians know their
Weissbier.
Weissbier, yes. Mm-hmm. I think I will enjoy this. 5.5%.
You know, we're off to a great start of this episode. Two beers that actually seem to taste well.
Excellent. I've been looking forward to this episode because of the film, which is kind of fresh in my mind this time because it's a Netflix thing. But before we go there, do you have something else to report? What are you been watching?
Well, I think last week we were talking a little bit about maybe doing Shape of Water because I had this special screening from my bank. The bank that I'm in invited us for a night out with the bank. And apparently it's part of their customer relations package. They want to give better customer service, and they don't always want to talk about mortgages and loans and all that kind of boring stuff, so they wanted to invite people out. It was good, nice little arrangement. It was free movie, free popcorn, and free soda,
and
then we got to watch Shape of Water.
Did you have to listen to some kind of a lecture on finances, or?
They were kind of in a hurry, so the CEO of the department had 5 minutes of talking about their new app, and that was about it. And then we had to get started because they had a sharp deadline because the next movie would start.
I see.
But there was no commercials. There was no break. There was no. Nothing. It was just the movie.
You know, banks—they're always looking out for you, aren't they?
Yes, yes.
That is what they do, basically.
You know, I'm not going to mention any names, what bank it is, because then we would start getting a sponsor here.
Can't have that.
Yeah. But we watched Shape of Water, and yeah, I was looking very much forward to that one. Mm-hmm. And it's a Guillermo del Toro film.
Yes.
And like in good and bad, I've never really got the... I've always felt like his movies just are tad boring, actually. Because it seems like there are a lot of flash, but not too much substance. And that was what I was left with here. It seemed like the story part of the movie was so, like, small. I mean, there was not a lot going on, actually. But the set design, the filmmaking aspects of the movie was just breathtaking, you know?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
So it was a weird mixture there. But I could enjoy the decoration, the scene design, the set design. And I also thought some of the performances were good, especially from Sally Hawkins. I really liked her performance as a mute woman.
I also liked it very much. It's a 9 out of 10 for me. Definitely, yeah. Definitely deserving Best Picture award.
Okay.
And yeah, a lot of substance. I disagree with you there.
Yeah.
So good performances, particularly Richard Jenkins. I think I mentioned it before.
Yeah, who was the neighbor, right?
Yes, yeah. He was unbelievable. I felt he deserved the Oscar.
Yeah, and you know, you were hyping his performance a little bit last episode, mm-hmm. and I was looking for it. And you know, he's good. He's good, but it's nothing spectacular. I
disagree. I disagree.
But it's not because of him. It's more because of how his character is written. It seems so, like, forced, his character and how, like...
Really? Wow. Yeah, I disagree with you so wholeheartedly.
Yeah?
About this. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
You could... Well, you could not be more wrong.
No?
You could try, but you would not be successful.
No.
Nah.
Well, I understand that his love for old show movies actually set the tone for all of the movie. So it became this magical fairy tale kind of thing. And also, it's him who is actually narrating the movie. So it's from within him, the whole thing is formed, I guess.
Still, he's a supporting character. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't really see him as a staple of the film. I just loved the little nuances that the actor made of the character and mm-hmm. a lot of little nice, funny stuff he did.
Yeah,
but yeah.
Ultimately, so, just not really important.
So you liked the how the character is written, but not really the performance. Am I?
No, I didn't like the way he was written. I liked the way he acted what he got to work with. You know, but maybe just because
I guess we'll talk more about the. How characters are written later on. We'll see how that goes. But it really hit home with me, that guy. Mm-hmm. And the film, it's nothing. I mean, the story is not like this huge story. It's a love story. It is a
love story.
Yeah.
And what I did like about it was how it was extremely disinterested in the monster. Like there was no focus on, wow, this monster is weird or extraordinary or like scary, because you got that connection with the mute woman from the beginning. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, it also just jumped directly into that like love situation, and that seemed a little bit weird. It seemed very disjointed and just like forced on you because they wanted to get to this point where they had the relationship. You didn't see any bond forming other than like sharing a few eggs here and there. That was
I guess we'll talk about disjointed stuff later.
Okay.
But I again disagree with you wholeheartedly. Yeah. It's
you didn't feel absolutely. Like that montage no. of her and the sea creature came quite early in the movie, and
I'm not saying this is a film that is going to change film history or if it offers anything mm-hmm. new, really. I'm just saying the execution is beautiful. It is.
Yes.
It is beautiful mm-hmm. to look at, fun. It's moving. And the music was fantastic. That song by Carmen Miranda, for instance. Mm-hmm. The whole, of course, you mentioned the set design.
Yeah.
Perfect.
It was perfect. It was
perfect.
Meticulous.
It was... I feel the film is perfect for what it was supposed to be, mm-hmm. you know? And
yeah.
I've seen some stinkers. We've seen some stinkers. It's like three billboards. And you see with these award things. And this is just... This is miles ahead.
Kind of like three billboards trying to touch on every single like issue there might be. For instance, the whole like just focusing on minorities and those small like issues there might be in those you know.
You think that was
those
like
people? It was like it was shoehorned in a little bit. It's like why should we care here? Why should we care here? But we need to just say we have these different kinds of people. They're all marginalized and like they're all fighting, you know.
Characters were like really well written, really well executed by the actress. Sally Hawkins was great. And Michael Shannon, isn't it?
Yeah,
the villain.
Yeah, the
was villain. He was great, and he was an actual character. He was just not just the bad guy, the villain. He was an actual person. We saw some nuances there. It was really, really well done for me.
Still, he was kind of just a villain as well. Like you did see him interact with his family once in order to give him some personality.
There was more than that. He went and bought a car. There was some interaction with the staff, and he tried in his own way to, you know, there was glimpses of a person behind. That's what I mean, behind the villain.
Yeah, but the whole buying the car thing, that was just in order to show his you know. Like he it wasn't really him. He was more like, yeah, I kind of need this in order to show how good I am, how well off.
Towards that exactly. You know. But yeah. it's different sides of a person.
Yeah. How, just before we move on, what did you feel about his relation to Sally Hawkins, the mute woman? You know, there's this one scene. And at his house when he has some sexual relations to his wife, and shuts her up and says like mm-hmm. I like you to be quiet, and mm-hmm. then there's this weird sexual tension between him and the mute woman at work.
Yeah, you know? Well, tension is coming from him entirely, of course, but
yeah.
It's another nuance to the character and to their interaction. You see, we have characters actually interacting here.
Unlike,
we'll get to that. I'm sure.
All right. Well, anyway,
teasing you, Runa. Teasing you.
The Shape of Water won Best Movie Oscar.
Yeah.
So. I mean,
out of what I have seen from last year, it was well deserved. I mean, it's not like square good or anything like that.
No, No, it's good that it'd be three billboards. I agree with that. Oh,
yeah. That's true.
And then you also have Sally Hawkins, who has been like featured in Paddington a few times.
Yes. Yeah. Which I saw the first one the other day.
Okay.
That is pretty darn good, isn't it?
Yeah, isn't it?
It's very nice. Yeah.
It's such a pleasant little movie. It's
very pleasant. That's not right the word.
Yeah.
Very pleasant.
And he's so well behaved, well mannered little bear. Yes. You know, you can't really fault him for anything.
It's imaginative filmmaking as well.
It is.
It is.
I love the way it transitions from one thought to the next and how it shakes up. Yeah. Visuals. It's
very tight. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I caught up with the second one, actually, since last time. And I have to agree that one is probably even better.
Those are strong words.
Yeah, they are strong words, but it's maybe a little less childish in some ways. But, you know, they're along the same lines. Mm-hmm. I gave it the same rating. I just added a little heart to the second one. Yeah.
Good.
They did something good here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad that you caught up with it.
Yeah.
How did Sumali like it?
He was engaged for like 45 minutes while he finished his, I think it was popcorn he had.
Okay.
So then he wanted to go and play.
Yeah,
but
okay.
We finished it in two sittings. So he saw most of it.
Yeah.
He liked the bear.
Yeah.
But exactly. He's not really that, you know, in front of the TV, not so much, you know?
No. No. Doing something else while in front. Yeah, but it's the same thing with Reskva. I mean, she can probably sit still for 10, 15 minutes or something, actually be absorbed in a movie.
Yeah.
But then she wants to do something else, but kind of gets distracted sometimes and looks at the movie again.
Yeah.
Yeah. She does like Paddington, though.
Mm-hmm. What's not to like?
Yeah. What is not to like?
Exactly.
Even the heart stare. That's adorable.
Yeah. Yeah, that was adorable. Yeah, true.
Mm-hmm.
But
anything
I wanted to
else?
Say, yeah, I wanted to say anything else from you? Anything else you wanna like give a mention to?
Not other than again encourage you to catch up with The Breadwinner. It's a it's a good animated film that was also nominated for an Oscar, and it's well deserved.
Didn't get around to that.
No. But it's a good movie. I finished it finally, and you know, it's a good movie. Tough movie. You shouldn't watch it with your kids unless you want to give them a hard lesson of how society can be. You know.
Yeah, maybe not. So, maybe not yet.
No. Yeah. So, anything else from you?
Well, I had a birthday last weekend.
I know.
And that means I get to pick what I do. And of course, I used the evening to watch some films.
Mm-hmm.
And Shep had no say in what we watched. So this is all
she had to stay awake, though.
She had to stay awake. That was her sole requirement.
Yeah.
But we had a great day. And when he got home, I wanted to watch A Ghost Story.
Yeah.
By David Lowery. I think it's pronounced. He was, I think, editor or on Upstream Color.
Yes.
So I was interested in seeing that, and I think fewer words are better. I think I was not impressed at all.
Okay.
I don't wanna like trash it, but no, not for me.
Okay.
I saw, and then I watched 2001: A Space Odyssey.
Okay.
Now that, I didn't rate it on Letterboxd because, I mean, how can you really?
I see, I haven't rated it yet either.
Yeah.
I've watched it so many times, but it's just, it's so hard to rate it.
But you know, you get the history behind it. It's like the starting point for space cinema, technically, visually, I would say.
Yes.
It's a great, great film.
And, you know, the whole introduction, until you get onto the spaceship where Hal is and all that kind of stuff, that's kind of just an, well, the introduction to that part, like that's the part of the movie you remember as coherent narrative going on.
So little
dialogue.
And then
you get the weird stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But even the monkeys, even though it's like 1968, I think it was, even the monkeys are partly, you know, they look okay even today.
Yes.
Partly.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I went to see the Stanley Kubrick exhibition
in
January, where they actually had two of those costumes, original costumes, on display. Mm-hmm. And they're amazingly well done. You know, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
They also had really the Star Child actually hanging there, the original Star Child.
Okay.
So that was a little bit awe-inspiring.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think, yeah.
I guess it primed you or prepped you well for what you were to experience later.
I guess. One more thing I want to mention is the Phantom Thread.
Yeah.
There was a single screening in Iceland, strangely, because we get all the good stuff, really. Mm-hmm. Strangely, it was not supposed to be in theaters, but there was a single screening, and I got tickets, and we went. And interesting film. Mm-hmm. I wanna reserve opinion for now, because maybe we're going to do it later.
Yes.
Maybe.
Yeah. It's still in the cinemas here.
I would, at the very least, recommend you see it.
Yes, I really want to. I think I've seen all PTA movies.
Okay.
So far. But, usually his movies are not ones that you love right away, necessarily. It takes a while, sometimes.
There are quite a few that I have yet to see, like The Master, for instance.
Yeah.
But
Elin is always teasing me with The Master, because I was quite intrigued, but she was just like, what the fuck am I watching? But you should watch it. I mean, it's Philip Seymour Hoffman's, like, one of his last performances, and Joaquin Phoenix is also quite amazing.
I mean, Philip Seymour Hoffman was one of these few individuals you can call geniuses, so for me. So, and that's not because he's dead. I've always thought that.
No. Yeah. Yeah, definitely see that. But I'm looking forward to hearing more of what you think about Phantom Thread after I've seen it, probably.
Yes. Yeah. We'll see how that goes.
But would you recommend it?
Like, of course, I would recommend you see it at the very least.
Okay.
It's. I'm not going to say too much, Rune, am I?
No.
I shouldn't give anything away. As we know, if you say something to me, it could shape how I feel about stuff I haven't seen, and vice versa.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
So should we just go ahead and get into our main feature?
Yeah.
Let me see him. He's extremely ill.
You have to tell me where he was, what he was doing.
It was his decision to go in. It's something they termed the Shimmer.
A biologist. He served in the military.
If I knew what happened, I could save his life.
The boundary's getting bigger, it's expanding. We're talking cities, states.
You need to know what's inside.
It's destroying everything.
It's not destroying. It's making something new.
Thank you.
That was a clip from Annihilation, the new Alex Garland film, where Lena, played by Natalie Portman, is a biologist and has to go into an unknown area called the Shimmer to figure out what happened at some event at a lighthouse. You know, that all sounds very confusing. And it probably is a little bit, right?
But does she have to really?
She might have to. She is kind of being, like, asked to do so.
I need a second beer for this one.
Yes. You're waiting for your cue there.
I just need my whole garden for. Yeah. I have like two beers a week, maybe. And at least one of them has to be a whole garden.
Yeah. Okay. Ah, there you go. You know, I was actually a little bit. Well, I am still a little bit worried about talking about this movie because. I've been wanting to watch it again, a second time. I've actually rewatched the ending again. And I really feel like you need to watch it a few times before it really sinks in what he wants to do with this movie. But I'll try and throw it over to you and ask how, like, what you got out of the movie. Now that you watched 2001... did you find any similarities here?
Not really, no. It has to be said. Not really, no.
No?
No. I haven't really thought about it from that perspective. No. But yeah. For me, like I said before, it's more of a technical achievement, 2001. After I only watched it once, so...
Was it your first time?
My first time. I'm a first timer. Yep.
Yeah. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Cracking that one.
I feel grown up now.
Yeah.
but not really. No. I'll just answer it with a single word. No.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll get into that a little bit later. I don't want to start out by spoiling too much here, but at least like from a visual perspective, I think this movie is gorgeous. I think it's really sad that we are not able to watch it in a cinema here in, well, anywhere else than in the States. I think I would have a completely different response to this film had I watched it in a cinema.
Yeah, that's actually what I wanted to ask you because for me, it really needs a big screen. Mm-hmm. Because I agree with you. It is beautiful to look at.
And to listen to.
And to listen to, yes. Well, partly. I'm not... there was some stuff I wasn't really that best pleased about, but mostly, yes.
Yeah.
The score was mostly really good for me. I thought all the visual stuff really worked out for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no complaints. We can talk at length about the visual stuff.
Yeah.
If you want.
Sure. You know, I've been wanting to talk to someone about this movie.
Okay.
And I think Elin is a little bit fed up with me always trying to decipher whatever is going on here.
Mm-hmm.
So now I have another subject to.
I think, Rune, it's fairly obvious from my teasing you before that we don't really agree on this one. And that's so nice, isn't it?
I've seen your smile, like that smirk on your face throughout this introduction.
I went to Letterboxd and you were recommending this film for us to do. And and I saw your rating and I just thought to myself,
now I need to not like this.
This will be fun.
I was even hesitant to rate it. I didn't rate it right away, but then I felt like I needed to do something. But it, like, if I watch it again, it really has the potential to rise even further than the four initial stars here.
I feel that for it to be rated four stars or higher, there needs to be something profound to the meaning of it, some kind of an interpretation, some kind of a theme thematically, thematical aspect that it's not really, you can't see right away, that sort of creeps up on you. That's how I feel. And I've been thinking about this. And I just don't see that. I mean, I see some clever stuff. For instance, the whole starting out with the cancer thing.
Yeah.
And then every person is kind of self-destructing in some way. That's a nice little thread throughout.
Yeah, and there's even a character who has cancer, who's going through that experience. Maybe they're hammering that thing home a little bit.
A little bit, it was, yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm not sure everybody got that, but it was, I thought that was nice.
Yeah.
It was a nice little thread, and what I seem to remember from Ex Machina, which I don't remember that all that well. It didn't affect me like it affected you.
No.
Yeah. That's what I was teasing you about the...
I know.
I do remember that he's studying human behavior and looking at different aspects of that. Mm-hmm. So that kind of fits with what he's done before. So he's kind of studying something. Yeah.
It seems like to me that Ex Machina was this like very small contained film. Also, like it took place at this one particular location where he's really expanding his vision here and trying to tell a bigger, well, even more profound story. But ultimately, it's the same thing he's getting at. Just like a different angle to it. Like this is more of a space movie. Like this is why I'm comparing it to 2001 sometimes, because there's a sequence towards the end that really has some of the same feelings, at least in my opinion, to that movie. And it's just, like, I always find it fascinating with when people try to, you know, like many of these science fiction films are always trying to say something about humanity and human behavior by projecting them up against like the foreign alien thing. And I love when movies are having aliens in them, but the aliens are not humanoid, you know? When aliens are an entity, something that you cannot grasp, something you cannot explain, and it's just trying to wrestle with that, like, notion. And how this, like, I see this movie very much as how this alien entity works in order to learn, in order to... like, why is it here even? Like, what does it want on Earth? And then all the people are affected by it, and it tells them some truths about themselves along the way. You know? I thought it was just, like, I haven't got my head around exactly what I feel about the movie. It gives you just enough hints to feel like there's something there that you might not understand completely, like something more. but you're still kind of in the dark. But yeah. it's a fun experience.
That's so. maybe that's my problem with it. Maybe the big problem with this, I just didn't find anything profound about it at all. I think maybe that's where you and I kind of differ.
Yeah,
because we tend to disagree about. You tend to find meaning in stuff that I don't find meaning in. Mm-hmm, for instance, the OA. I mean,
yes, for I instance, mean, that.
Yeah, yeah. For instance, I mean, I'm sure there are others.
It's true.
Yeah. Whereas I am missing some big elements of good film here. I mean, I mentioned the visual stuff. Stunning. I really think I should have seen it in a theater.
Yeah, I would have loved to do that.
Yeah. I also mentioned the good, I thought the threat with the cancer and the self-destruction, which is cancer.
Which is
the body basically self-destructing. Mm. I thought that was a nice little threat. And the characters are flawed, and we're all going in the same direction with that.
Yeah. Yeah, it just depends how you're doing it.
And we
whether
have,
you're going head first into, well, annihilation, or if you're a bit hesitant or try to fight back, or, you know, you have all the aspects of it.
Sure. But I was happy to see five women going in together. I was so optimistic when that was happening. Yes, we have five women. It's great. Five female roles. We'll see what happens and how they interact and all that. And this is where I get to the big problem. There's no, I didn't feel any emotional connection to any of them.
Mm-mm.
I think they were poorly written.
Yeah.
I think they didn't, they were not, their roles were not really good roles. Hang on.
Yeah.
For instance, do you feel like you know something about Lena, the main character? Other than she was married and she had an affair. Sorry, spoiler alert.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know more about her backstory. Well, a little bit, at least. You know that she wants answers. You know that she really wants to figure out what happened.
He is trying to build some background for Lena.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to make us understand Lena. Maybe it's a problem of him having read the novel.
I have not read the novel either.
I don't know. Maybe it's something to do with that. And because I've seen reviews by people who have read the novel, they're overwhelmingly awesome. Like, people really like it.
Very positive.
But that's, they seem to be in the know somehow.
Yeah.
Whereas we're not.
Yeah.
Whereas I am not, at least.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought the flashbacks were clumsy. For instance, they didn't do anything for me. I didn't feel... we were talking about The Shape of Water.
Mm-hmm.
Very emotionally spot on. Even though we have some kind of a sea creature and a mute woman. And you'd mentioned the montage and everything. But I felt it. Yeah. I felt it.
Yes.
It was something... It hit home emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
Here... Nothing from the marriage. I didn't get any emotional it just bounced off me, and I didn't care. And this is a staple of a good film, I feel. Mm-hmm. Well, you need to be engaged with the characters.
Yeah. I think this is a different kind of movie, though. Sure. And I agree with you that the characters are very stereotypical in a way. They're fairly flat. You know who they are from the moment you meet them. And there's even like kind of a weird scene where they're describing every single character, like, and their character traits. Exactly. This is how they are.
Yeah.
Now, I'm thinking that the reason they do this is in order to show different kinds of, well, self-destruction, of course. But I also have this feeling that it's really from the point of view of Lena. You know, we start at the interrogation scene, and she's actually recalling everything that has happened. Everything is taking place within this flashback. And I think we're seeing everything from her point of view. That's why we're not paying attention to all the character development. We're only paying attention to her view on the situation and how she interprets things. And she's very focused on her aim.
Sure.
And I think that's the reason we don't go into it. And I think it works fine, you know, for what it is, because mm-hmm. it's the exploration of this area and what it does to you that is in, like, is front and center. And the people around her is basically just there to show these different types, as we were talking about, of self-destruction, self, you know, problems you might have. You have cancer and you have some alcoholism. You have, like, self-harm. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the last one, but it's like, it's, you know, broken people in there. And, you know, I actually wanted to bounce an idea off of you, whether you could see if that actually made sense.
Good.
But what really bugs me, maybe we're going a little bit into spoiler territories here. Spoiler alert. Once we go to the Shimmer the first time, we always have this, we know that time works a bit differently within the Shimmer, which is that area around the lighthouse. And they walk in, and then we jump forward like 6 days. Something like that.
Yeah.
We don't jump in time ever, like, after that fact. It's only upon arrival we jump in time. And what I noted was that Natalie Portman, like Lena's camp or tent, was withdrawn from the others. The others had like a group of tents next to each other, and they were there. They were all awake. And she wakes up as the last one, kind of as the outsider coming into that group. And I've just been thinking here before we started recording whether that had something to do with the flatness of the characters, because I've been thinking about that, the flatness of these characters, and that it's just a part of herself somehow. Like, you have the characters and everything, you know who went in, but actually the people she's with on her journey through the Shimmer might not actually be the characters she thought they would be. Like, it's just images of their most pronounced character traits.
Okay, I mean, I guess that's a possibility.
I
think it's a nice theory, and I respect your opinion about. because I think the novel is told through her journal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not exactly that, but it's something close to it.
Yeah.
She's being interrogated, I guess.
Yeah, it's a way of...
That would be an explanation. I I get it, but I'm not happy about it. Because I think you can tell the story by the interaction of the characters. And he doesn't do that. I know how you feel about that. I know Lena is the one.
Yeah.
But that's the problem for me. It's
and they're not so interested in the characters. They're more interested in the world around them and how it changes.
Absolutely.
And how it evolves. And they're even starting with seeing the cell division, like a division of a cell. And they're focusing so much on how all the biology within this world doesn't make sense. I haven't formed any good thoughts or explanations.
That's okay. It's happening live. Because, Luna, it's happening
live.
Yes,
this is happening live. but I think it's quite fascinating how the people who went in there before has contributed to this big mass of whatever DNA is going on in here to create all these different kinds of plants and animals. And there's also a scene with this bear that has been fused with some human DNA. And like
I think as well.
Yeah, and different things, because it seems to me that it's this experimentation from an extraterrestrial, you know, trying to make sense of what this alien is seeing and how to combine it. Mm-hmm. And if we go completely into spoiler territory, you also have this double theme of doubles all the time, where this alien is trying to create duplicates, basically.
Yes.
I love how they frame that or hint at that, set it up by shooting Kane and Lena's hands through glasses of water in the beginning. You have this very characteristic shot of Kane, Lena's husband, who had gone missing for a long time, sitting at a table and putting his hands on the behind the glass, and the reflection makes it so that his hands are coming from the opposite direction, so it seemed like it's a double, you know, right there. And and once Lena is there also, you have that double within this glass reflection. And
that is clever. I didn't get that one. A nice touch. And
that's from the very beginning.
Yeah.
And I remember that shot because it stood out, but also because they use it later when we know a little bit more. And this is the reason why I really feel the need to rewatch this movie, because I think there's loads of subtle small hints that hints at something more profound. The thing that you're actually wanting to be in there but can't see. I think it's hidden a little bit, and it might be a flaw of the movie that it's hidden that well. but you know, it's intriguing anyway.
Yeah, but I think it says a lot about how we view movies, how we are talking about this.
I love to try to unlock movies like this, and as long as it keeps your interest, like as long as it doesn't go all overboard and it seems like there's nothing there, it's a fine balance. And so here there I feel like there's definitely more. And also the ending. Didn't that do something to you?
Let's hold back on the ending a little bit, because I want to kind of say something related to what you said. I want to mention the flashbacks, kind of. That just for me, that just didn't work at all. I mentioned that the whole relationship between Lena and Kane and the other thing. Yeah. Can you tell me why he showed us that twice? Can you? That's just a flaw in the film. That's just weird. She is they're having sex. She is on top of him, and we see this sequence. The camera moves and she slowly sees her from the front. We see that twice, and we see who she is with twice.
Yeah.
And it's just weird. It's just a waste of time. If you do that sequence and you don't show who she's with, okay.
Yeah, and then do it again.
Yes, and then do it again and see who she is with. Mm. And then what comes after, I get it. But it's just there's something off about that. So the structure for me, you know how I am. I like a good structure. Like the script,
but they
to be
already
tight.
Told you about the affair,
sure.
In the very like almost very first scene.
Well, you could interpret it. I mean,
you could interpret it. You knew there was something different there.
It was hinted.
There was a hand gesture.
Yes, it was a hand gesture. I'll give you that. Still, you didn't know. I mean, I took from that scene was that she was just in mourning.
Yeah.
And he was a friend from work who mentioned his wife in that same.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
which made
and,
it really
and
weird.
It was a bit strange.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to say, I got the emotional aspect, I got the structural aspect out of the way of my notes. Yeah. Now I want to tell you about the third thing that I'm not happy about. In the kind of a second act.
Yeah.
Because it's definitely first, second, and third act. The second act in The Shimmer before they get to the lighthouse. It didn't work for me. The whole second act was just too... I mean, what I saw is how I would have done it. I mean, there was some dread. There was some... danger on the horizon. We got a jump scare and okay, but it needs more kind of horror. It needs more suspense. Yeah. You are I see you. I see you trying
you know,
to
again.
I see I'm, you trying not to say anything here, but it was just too flat. For me, it was just,
you know,
almost
for me,
boring.
It seemed like it was exploring all these themes. It was still the same kind of movie as Ex Machina, which is very much a talking movie. But there was actually set pieces that were quite like exhilarating, and I felt like they actually pulled that off really well. And I was surprised how well all the horror scenes worked. But you know, for instance, if we're taking that bear pig person scene, right? I don't think it was meant to be horrific, because what I took away from that scene was that this bear, I'll just call it a bear, it was actually in pain, because that is also a creation of this, you know, entity, you know, this phenomena. It is an entity of that. Everybody is kind of in pain. It's been a mixture between any like everything in there.
It is cancer on the planet and it's growing.
Yeah.
It basically affects everything.
Yeah.
Within its reach.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I didn't see it as horror, more like a, well, you know, a sad, fascinating thing.
That's a difference of opinion right there. I thought it was just too flat for me.
Yeah.
You are assigning more meaning to than I am. Mm.
And this is, I'm at least trying.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I feel like they leave room to explore those things.
Mm-hmm.
At least.
Yeah. Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
But on that note, I still feel like the movie slowly builds up to what you're going to experience in the end. And I feel like if you didn't buy most of the movie up to that point, at least that final sequence is amazing.
And okay, we're moving on to the third act now. Yeah.
Yes. And it's redeeming whatever you would have bad to say about the previous parts.
Let me tell you something about the third act and about my wife, who is very, let's say, visually perceptive,
mm-hmm.
Aesthetically perceptive.
Yeah.
She was quite happy with the first two acts regarding the visual stuff. She was not mm-hmm. happy with the third act.
No.
She thought these poles, trees, or whatever, she was not happy. She's just, this is bad taste. And she was, well, I'll just say it right now. I was going to save it, but she was kind of mad in the end. She was kind of angry.
Angry?
Yes, because she said, this is such a waste of time.
Yeah.
She was pissed.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to like, come on now, come on, honey. Yeah. You know, let's you know,
let's give it a try.
Let's not be too hasty here. Let's just, you know, take it all mm-hmm. in. But I thought the visual stuff was good in the third act.
Yeah, but also the feeling, you know, and the subject matter here.
Let me tell you what I had a huge problem with. Yeah, mm-hmm. You've said that the Guardians of the Galaxy don't appeal to you.
Yeah.
Well, how do you feel about the Guardians of the Galaxy kind of a unraveling of this being, where, hey, fire, let's go to the heart of the beast and light a fire or a bomb. Yeah. And everything unravels. Did you think that's just a little bit too simplistic? Easy? Yeah.
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 But you know, you're skipping the whole good part here.
Okay. Okay. Go on.
when you actually meet the entity. And mm-hmm. the alien and how it tries to replicate and that whole feeling. Like there's this one musical cue, like there's a theme, do-do-do-do-do, something like that. And it's chilling. You know, I love that scene probably like 50% because of the music, but it was so creepy, this notion of having a double that is following you.
You like, mean that mirror step, sequence?
The mirror, image.
That's like an old bit from, like, I don't know, vaudeville or I don't know,
especially cartoons. Especially once she's trying to escape and she's getting like squeezed up against the wall instead. I love the way the camera is going in and out of focus and transferring from one person to the other, like kind of trying to show what's actually going on. And once it's done, you see this, like how the duplication has been completed.
Yeah.
And how, well, like there's this like joint mass of DNA that we've been talking about, like everything goes into this pool somehow and springs out of that. And as soon as this transferal has changed or like has completed, then you cut out to the trees again that Shep probably didn't like, you know. Mm-hmm. And you could see something changed there. So her DNA was kind of like integrated in a different way in that whole. But then we have like that she actually gets up and she's not being annihilated. She's actually getting the better of the entity, weird entity. But there's still something there. You know, that whole sequence there was just so beautiful to me. And it was threatening. It was menacing. It was, you know, otherworldly in a way that I thought was really mesmerizing. Now I said a lot of words and I have nothing
to assign them to.
To really do, you know.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Regarding this.
Yeah.
Just this question. It's a little thing, but mm-hmm. if as in the very end, she is partly the entity. Mm-hmm. I mean, the entity is definitely a part of her, and her husband mm-hmm. is, you know, the entity. I mean, we're deep into spoiler territory here. Nobody cares.
Yeah. We already went into spoiler territory a long time ago.
Wouldn't she like, if the entity is dying, wouldn't the stuff influenced by the entity also, like she, wouldn't she like, isn't she part of the entity now? Is this a weird question?
She is, like or like part of the entity is in her.
Uh-huh.
But that's also something I've been thinking about a little bit, because I've always been thinking that Kane is a complete replicant, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's the clone.
Yeah.
And the real Kane is gone, so sure. So that is the entity.
Yeah. But in the very end, we get the notion that she is at least partly.
And she might be partly the entity, but or maybe just partly affected, but still human. Like, I don't think she's completely, like, she's more human than entity.
See, this is all stuff that's open to interpretation.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. and just to give my opinion once again,
mm-hmm.
I just simply didn't care.
No,
about any of that stuff, because I don't know. It seemed kind of pointless to me, Rune. I don't want to give you a hard time about this or anything. No. This is just my opinion. This is just how I see it.
Yeah,
you know.
But here I think it's the same kind of feeling you get with Ex Machina, where Ex Machina might be a little bit more tangible, because it's AI they're focused on. They're showing that, like, throughout the movie. This is obviously spoiler territory for Ex Machina, so if you haven't seen this, go watch it before you continue to listen here.
Mm-hmm.
But Ex Machina spends a lot of time trying to do these Turing tests of, like, whether you can tell a machine is a machine. And you're kind of rooting for the machine to be accepted as a human being and stuff like that. But then all of a sudden you realize that she is a machine. She doesn't know, like, she doesn't understand the concept of empathy in any way. And she can do things in order to survive, and she will do whatever it takes to survive. And once she has those other human skills as well, then it becomes really, really threatening. And once she gets, like, released into the world and nobody knows any different, then it can be very threatening. And it stops on that, well, kind of uplifting note, because she wins. And you've been rooting for her, but it also is a bit sinister, because, like, this is actually a really, really bad thing that has happened. And I feel like the ending of Annihilation is along the same lines, where it's actually really good that they've gone together again. Like they've found each other again. They're not the same people. She has an understanding of who he is. But still, it's this, like, other that is infiltrating, well, humanity. And it might or might not mean the doom of people.
Of mankind
in the end.
One man.
You know. So, yeah. Yeah. I mean, still, it seems like there's more interpretations to be made with Annihilation, and I, for one, are looking forward to diving more into whatever all those mean, because I think it's such a beautiful film, and it's just, like, mesmerizing in many ways. And
I think you should watch
score,
it again.
Yeah, the score is beautiful, but maybe, like, Ex Machina is more of that, like, self-contained film, also with Oscar Isaac in it. You know, it might be a little bit more tangible than this.
No, no, I think we've got our points across, both of us.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
And we
even
disagree, this is good.
Yes. But I think none of us really know what really happened in this movie.
I think some of us care what happened in this movie. Others did not. But that's just how it is. We want different things sometimes, and that's good.
Yeah.
I was talking about my wife before. She was pissed off. And you know, our usual Saturday thing, as you know, is watching an episode of Midsommar Murders,
yeah,
which we love. we eat the same thing,
yeah.
And it was like, so it was kind of late, and I thought we'll just skip Midsommar this time, and we have only one episode left anyways. And,
one episode left of Midsommar Murders?
Yes, a single
is it
episode.
Over?
No, before the next batch comes.
Oh yes, okay.
And we felt cheated. She was pissed, genuinely pissed off. And I get why. And she said something I wanted to leave you with, kind of, because yeah. I wanted to kind of watch the credits and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But she was like, please turn that shit off. Please, it's like a bad screensaver with squeaky music. It's like
it.
A bad screensaver with squeaky music. That's what she said. I just wanted to say it.
I think I have a bone to pick with Shep.
Yes,
yeah.
Maybe. Yeah.
You know, I've been talking on end about many different theories here with Elin,
yeah.
And I actually convinced her to rewatch it yesterday.
Okay.
But I thought it was a little bit too big of a gesture on her part to actually sit down and watch it with me once again. So we decided to watch something different. But still, she's actually willing to rewatch it, because she understands that might be something more to this movie. So maybe, yeah.
There are definitely interpretations to be made. I just don't think me and Shep really care to make
care.
That's just, there you go. There you go. Yeah. That's it.
You know, at least you like Twin Peaks. You know.
Well, that's totally different. That's genius.
Yeah.
That's totally, please don't compare these two, Rune, come on. No.
No, but anyway, that was Annihilation. Do we have any thoughts on the movie for next time?
I don't think so. We'll just see what happens. Keep our audience in suspense.
Yes. We will have to try and figure something out, like more of a schedule at some
point. Maybe, hopefully, a Nordic thing. Yes. Would you a Nordic thing?
I really want something Nordic. Maybe Winter Brothers, finally.
Well, I hope so.
If it's possible to find it.
Anyway. I don't think it's in theaters in Iceland yet, but I mean, it must be coming soon.
Right.
Must be coming soon.
I'm thinking it might be released on streaming services or something soon.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Who knows? We'll see what happens.
We'll see. But, something Nordic. Definitely.
Yeah, something Nordic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We owe the Finns something.
We do.
Yeah.
Maybe Kaurismäki.
Maybe Kaurismäki. Maybe the back catalog. Yeah, now, there's an idea. There's an idea.
So we'll stay tuned to that.
Yeah. Meanwhile, you can find us everywhere, like always. And we tweet, we Facebook, we Letterbox, we do everything.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Follow us on Letterbox. That's probably the most relevant for what we're up
yeah,
to.
Yeah. Like, sure.
From a day to day basis.
Give us a review if you get a chance.
Yeah. On iTunes.
Sure.
For instance,
yeah,
our website is theconversationpodcast.net still, and we're also on Facebook and SoundCloud.
Everywhere.
you
would think to look.
Yeah,
there's no getting away from us. But that's I think good for today.
I hope you got something out of our discussion, our rambling discussion about Annihilation.
Yeah.
I felt like I said a few words, at least.
Yeah. I will say this. Go and watch it and make up your own mind.
Yeah, and let us know what you think.
Yeah.
Then we can discuss it again next time.
Yay!
Well, until then, thanks for listening.